WMUB's first home was on Miami University's campus. 15 years ago, it became part of Cincinnati Public Radio and moved to rented space on Central Parkway. Now, we're building a dedicated home for our local public radio stations in Evanston. Follow our progress at cinradio.org/move.
3, 2, 1.
Deck the halls with sewage flowing, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be worried, fa la 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 la. Rains are coming more intensely, fa la 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 la. Rain with sewage overflowing, fa la 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 la.
There's nothing like a good old-fashioned sewer carol to get in the overflow season spirit.
Ah, yes, overflow season. We all celebrate in our own way. That was CUFA, or the Communities United for Action, during a protest in late 2019.
The group literally sang their protests to Hamilton County commissioners during budget discussions for the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati. If you listen closely, you can hear Florence Miller from episode 1 singing along.
I'm partial to I'm dreaming of a fixed sewer, but dashing through the poop is definitely a bop.
Dashing through the poop in an effort to recoup anything that can be found that hasn't been soaked through.
This is Backed Up from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Becca Costello.
I'm Ella Rowan. Today, we're cracking open the next file in the case of the Metropolitan Sewer District of Greater Cincinnati, and maybe singing a little bit more than usual.
We've made a lot of progress on this mystery. So far, we've answered why billions of gallons of untreated sewage gets dumped into Cincinnati's waterways every year, and why sewage sometimes gets pushed into people's basements.
A quick recap. Those things happen because Cincinnati has a combined sewer system. Everything that goes down the toilet and everything that falls from the sky all ends up in the same pipe.
Whoa! Someone smells stinky!
Our case still has some unanswered questions, though. Like, hello, why isn't this problem fixed by now? It's been 2 decades since the consent decree, when federal officials ordered MSD to fix it.
We've been keeping track of some possible suspects on our bulletin board here, but there's one villainous suspect that's been lurking ominously in the background all along, and it's finally time to bring it out into the light. Money.
It's not that they don't want the help, but it's about funding.
We're ultimately going to need additional funds.
And there's just not a pot of money out there that we can go grab to bring to this community.
No money came from the feds. When they gave us the decree, they didn't say, here's some money to help out.
Solutions that exist in the future will involve investing hundreds of millions of dollars.
No one would be able to afford their bills. No one.
It's very expensive to treat sewage, industrial waste, and stormwater. That was true when the treatment plants were first built in the 1950s, and it's only gotten more expensive since then, as society's standards for clean water have gotten higher, especially since the Clean Water Act in the early 1970s.
The consent decree and the obligations of the consent decree are what looms large over the whole utility because it is billions of dollars, and that is tied to rates.
That's Denise Driehaus from the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners. The three commissioners approve all financial decisions for the sewer district, including how much customers have to pay for sewer rates.
You can only increase rates so much before it just becomes unaffordable for the residents that live in the county.
Except for the occasional state or federal grant, MSD has only one source of revenue coming in, you and me. If you live in Hamilton County, you're probably paying MSD for sewer service.
That's true even if you live in an apartment. There are a few pockets of the county that are with a different sewer utility or that have private septic systems.
The money we pay MSD has to cover two very big things: maintaining the system, which is at least a century old, and everything required in the consent decree to upgrade that antique system to meet much higher clean water standards.
Denise says commissioners kept rates flat for 8 years because MSD had enough money in reserve to not need a rate increase.
I said this when I was first on the county commission: I'll raise rates when I need to. But in the beginning, I didn't need to, right? But now we do. Understood. Let's try to do it in a responsible way so the ratepayers aren't overburdened by really significant spikes in their MSD bills.
Commissioners approved a 3% rate increase for 2023 and another 3% increase for 2024. But that extra revenue is just to keep up with inflation for current service. It doesn't give MSD anything more to speed up work on the consent decree.
The one criticism I hear sometimes is that we are not responding to the consent decree projects quickly enough.
Hello, why isn't this problem fixed by now?
Two things. One is, if we did it more quickly, that would mean rate increases, right? Because we have to have the money to do the projects. The other thing is capacity of MSD. Right now, many of the projects that are related to the consent decree are behind schedule. They do not have the capacity to get more projects out on time, even if we did raise rates.
Even before the rate increases in 2023 and 2024, a lot of residents said they couldn't afford their sewage bill.
We can't wait for fair sewer rates. We can't wait for fair sewer rates. Once again, we can't wait for fair sewer rates.
3 years ago, I met a group of passionate activists outside the county administration building in Cincinnati.
Who are we?
Right there.
And what do we want?
Fair rates.
And when do we want them?
This is Communities United for Action, or CUFA, the same group that was singing sewer carols. This was about a month after the celebratory opening of the Lick Run Greenway. I had just learned about combined sewers and the consent decree, and I had no idea how much I still had to learn. So many acronyms and smells in my future.
Today, we are gathered to educate our fellow voters and our fellow ratepayers about the unfair rates that we are all paying for water and sewage.
The voice you hear leading the chants is CUFA member Wanda Moncrie Ball.
On this sweltering hot day in June 2021, CUFA protested outside the building in downtown Cincinnati, where Hamilton County commissioners have their meetings, and presented several demands to make sewer rates more affordable.
We are gathered here today in this place to put the commissioners on notice that we as voters and ratepayers are no longer asleep.
Commissioners and MSD officials said they would consider the demands. 3 years later, none have been implemented.
I feel like we need one of those Schoolhouse Rock style songs to help us explain the rate structure because it's a doozy.
Phew, you sure have to pay a hefty fee for all this water you use in Cincinnati, don't ya?
I'm just a bill, sewer utility bill. My rate goes up when your toilet overfills.
No, actually, Ella, let's not put the listeners through this.
Aw, oh, man. Well, that animated water utility bill was about to tell us why some Cincinnatians are paying a lot more for sewer service than they would in other cities.
It's based on how much water you use, which has nothing to do with whether or not it rains.
That's Bob Park, a CUFA member and Sierra Club volunteer, helping us understand the complicated world of sewer rates. Like everything else in this podcast, sewer rates are complicated. So, like everything else, we're adding it to our mystery bulletin board. Let's break it down.
Picture your average single-family home. You pay for the amount of water coming into your home through the pipes. It could be coming from your sink, your shower, your washing machine, your toilet, even your garden hose.
That water is coming from your drinking water utility. In Cincinnati, the drinking water utility is called Greater Cincinnati Waterworks, or GCWW. It's a totally different thing from MSD.
Here in Cincy, any water that goes down the drain gets sent to an MSD treatment plant to get cleaned up and released into waterways.
So nice and clean!
Theoretically, you should only pay for what you put down the drain. MSD doesn't need to treat the water that you gave your dog to drink or watered your plants with, because that water isn't going into the sewer system.
But you'd need a separate meter on every home to keep track of how much actually goes down the drain. So instead, MSD gets the data from GCWW and charges each household for that amount of water.
There's a seasonal adjustment where MSD assumes if you're using more water during the summer, a lot of that is probably watering your grass or filling your pool, so you only get charged for your average usage during colder months.
Here's the most important thing to keep in mind. MSD rates are entirely based on how much water comes out of the pipes.
Back when they invented all these rate structures, they were just trying to come up with an easy way to come up with a charge. And nobody was worried about stormwater at that point.
The water we put down the drain is only about half of the water that goes through MSD treatment plants. The other half is stormwater. We'll come back to that later in this episode.
So your drinking water bill and your sewer bill are based on the same amount of usage. And they show up on the same bill, by the way. At least here in Cincinnati.
Hey, can we take a second to make fun of me?
Always.
So 10 years ago, I started renting a home in Covington, and I was very carefully paying my water bill on time every month, or I thought I was doing that. But suddenly I got a scary looking bill showing all this money that was supposedly past due, and it freaked me out. So I posted this on my Facebook in 2014. Is it possible that we have two different services and bills for water? One is Northern Kentucky Water District and one is Sanitation District, which supposedly bills us for sanitary sewer and stormwater. This sounds like a scam. Okay, listen, I had already been paying my own utilities for a couple of years living on my own, but that was in an apartment, so I never saw like actual utilities. But I didn't even notice that I was getting two different water bills in Covington, and it turned out I was only paying one of them. But hey, if it takes a whole podcast to explain it, can you blame me for being confused?
All of you Pooh Crime fans listening right now, don't have to make the same mistake that Becca made. Here's how it works. MSD charges every customer a base rate. It's the same price no matter how much water they use. So far, this is all typical of sewer utilities everywhere else.
Like most sewer systems, the base rate includes a certain amount of water usage. For MSD, the base rate is about $41, and that includes the first 2,200 gallons of water.
But here's the thing that makes MSD different from some other sewer systems. Bob Park says many single-family residential accounts won't even use all of that water in 1 month.
So they're paying for essentially more water than they used, as far as the sewer is concerned. So that's a problem.
It's kind of a use-it-or-lose-it situation. Every MSD customer has to buy 2,200 gallons worth of sewer service, but there's no adjustment at the end of the month if they've only used 1,000 gallons.
That means residential customers are paying at least $500 a year for sewage service, no matter how much water they actually send MSD for treatment. Bob and other advocates say that's not fair, but if this is the standard way that most sewer systems operate, what's the problem?
Well, even though it's standard to charge a base rate, the base rate for MSD is quite a bit higher than some other cities we've looked into. And that makes sewer rates in Cincinnati more expensive than those other cities. We often hear from MSD officials that you can't make direct comparisons to other sewer utilities because they all calculate rates differently. Something all sewer utilities share is a love for acronyms. So, how do they calculate rates?
Some utilities use CCF for 100 cubic feet, which is 748 gallons, or MCF, which is 1,000 cubic feet, or 7,480 gallons. And some use rates based on each 1,000 gallons used.
So, yeah, it takes a lot of math to make it a fair comparison. But we did that math.
Hell yeah, we did. Okay, get ready for some word problems.
I'm actually really good at math. You're kind of bad at math.
MSD's monthly base rate is about $41 and includes about 2,200 gallons of water. Roughly half of single-family households actually use that much water or more.
A family in Pittsburgh or Columbus using the same amount of water would only pay between $16 and $18 a month for their sewer bill.
saving about $300 a year.
The differences, though, get a lot more significant for households using less water.
About a quarter of all MSD residential accounts are only using about 1,500 gallons of water a month, but still paying $41. Even though in Columbus or Pittsburgh, the bill would be about $13. I rent an apartment, so I never see a water or sewer utility bill. It's included in the rent I pay the landlord every month.
I'm a renter too, but I'm responsible for paying all the utilities myself. So I looked back at all the monthly bills for the single-family home in Price Hill where I live with my husband and dog, whose name is Cincy, by the way. We've only gotten above the minimum charge a couple of times in 3 years, and at least one of those times was because we couldn't get the toilet to stop running.
Did you ever catch it? Anyway, keep in mind, this does not include drinking water. So far, we've only been talking about the sewer portion of the bill.
The drinking water portion of the bill is usually a lot less. So one of my recent bills, for example, was about $66 total, and only $16 was for the drinking water.
But you can't pay the bills separately. And if you fall behind because of the sewer bill, you could end up with all service being cut off, including your drinking water.
So it's no surprise the first demand from Communities United for Action was to lower the base rate.
Let me remind everyone that access to water is a basic human need. Water is life. Yeah. We all deserve to have access to water. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Another CUFA demand was to expand the customer assistance program. MSD created this program in 2019, and eligible customers get a 25% discount on their sewer bill. CUFA members say this program is better than nothing, but it doesn't help enough people.
MSD has about 232,000 customers, both households and businesses. And of those customers, MSD estimates about 19,000 are eligible for the discount, but less than 18% are enrolled in the program.
That means almost 16,000 low-income seniors could be getting the discount, but just aren't signed up for it. CUFA members are pretty unimpressed with the progress.
The number of eligible people was so small, very small.
I met up with Wanda Moncrie-Ball again, nearly 3 years after meeting her for the first time at that sewer rates protest in 2021.
We had asked them, you know, well, how many people would need to be enrolled for you to consider it a success? And they had a small percentage. But when you have a small population and a smaller percentage, then you know, it's almost nil.
So why is the number of customers eligible for assistance with their sewer bill so small? Well, for one thing, state law does limit who a sewer district can offer a discounted rate to. MSD can only offer the discount to customers who are at least 65 years old or permanently disabled, and who make low or moderate income.
But state law offers two options for a sewer utility to determine income eligibility. The first option is to use eligibility from a totally different program, where low-income homeowners can get a reduction on their property taxes. So anyone who qualifies for this other program, called the Homestead Exemption, also qualifies for a sewer rate discount.
This is the option MSD chose for their discount program. It's the easiest path because a utility can essentially piggyback on another program without coming up with their own requirements. But this path makes low-income senior renters ineligible.
From an equity standpoint, you want to make sure it's the tenant and not the landlord that's getting the benefit of that. And what that would require is a lot more work to have a, you know, an understanding of the lease agreements and just the how the property is managed. That really creates a much bigger administrative program for us to administer.
That's tough to hear for people like Roy Davis, who would qualify for the customer assistance program, except that he rents instead of owns his home. He spoke during the CUFA protest back in 2021.
I did not serve this country to come home to have the country not serve me. We senior renters deserve to be included in the current customer system program. We expect the county commissioners to support us.
The thing is, state law does offer a second option, a more general low or moderate income requirement with no specific definition. That means each utility could choose their own eligibility. helping folks like Roy Davis get the support they're asking for.
One sewer system who chose this second option is the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District in Cleveland, who we spoke to in the last episode. They have a discount program for households making up to 250% of the federal poverty level. Any homeowner or renter who can prove financial responsibility for the sewer bill is eligible. And the discount is higher, 40% off the sewage rate, compared to Cincinnati's 25%.
Here's Kyle Dreyfus-Wells, CEO of the Cleveland Area District.
We include funding for our affordability program in our rate study, so it's supported, you know, through the rates. Our board is very aggressive on affordability programs, and so they were, you know, very supportive.
There's some debate about whether MSD actually could do a program like this, because Cleveland has a regional sewer district, while MSD is a county sewer district. That doesn't sound like a big difference, but it's technically two different sections of state law.
But the portion of state law that talks about rate discounts is worded almost exactly the same. So theoretically, that alone shouldn't prevent MSD from doing what Cleveland has done.
The Northeast Ohio District has a few other assistance programs, too, like offering up to $300 for anyone experiencing a financial hardship, no matter what their regular income is.
MSD's Diana Christie says implementing any kind of assistance program can be tough because whatever MSD doesn't collect from one customer has to be collected from everyone else.
It is a balancing act because as much as, you know, we recognize that we have customers that do have inability to pay, there is that balance of providing discounts to some then increases bills of others. And where's that equity point in what we can provide without having an impact on others?
Wanda Moncrie-Ball from CUFA says MSD could make it work and just chooses not to.
Considering that when you developed it with such a narrow scope of eligibility, and considering that you can expand it to include more people by the wording of the law and you choose not to, then I would think that you don't really want to. You're going through the motions to say that you're doing it when you could do more. When we asked for a customer assistance program, we were challenged with the term welfare. This is welfare. But you give welfare to corporate companies. You just don't call it that.
More from Backed Up after this.
This week on Looking Up.
The average backyard astronomer can actually do something that the major astronomers generally cannot.
I talk with Robert Nemeroff, one of the creators of your favorite daily dose of inspiration, the website Astronomy Picture of the Day.
It occurred to us that we could come up with a web page and every day just post one of these images. And since we're both astronomers, we could just give a short explanation as to what it really is.
Or wherever you get your podcasts, and WVXU.org.
Hey, fans of Pooh Crime, join Ella and me for a Q&A event at the CET Studio in Cincinnati, Ohio on July 10th. Doors open at 6 p.m. You can reserve your tickets at WVXU.org/backed up. Those tickets are free, but they will go fast and you have to reserve a spot. If you can't make it in person, check out our live stream. Details also available on our website. We can't wait to see you there.
It is a fact that the current rate structure has been subsidizing big businesses.
Corporate welfare. This is how Wanda refers to the lower rate offered to corporations in Cincinnati who use sewage services above a certain amount. It's kind of like the Costco for sewer rates. If you buy 100 rolls of toilet paper in bulk, you pay less per toilet paper roll.
In this case, if you use tens of thousands of gallons of water, you pay less per gallon. So some of Hamilton County's biggest water users, like universities, hospitals, and industrial buildings, are paying a lot, but less per gallon than residential customers like you and me.
But MSD Director Diana Christie says it's not actually a discount.
It has been criticized and termed as a high volume or a corporate discount. It's not how it's designed, and it's based on that need to cover the costs in the minimum base charge, and the addition of additional flow doesn't necessarily increase our costs.
Diana says the base charge is determined by meter size, and the customers who use a lot more water typically have a much bigger meter. Plus, commercial or industrial users whose wastewater is contaminated somehow also have to pay pre-treatment fees, which ends up costing them extra.
Bob Park, who analyzed the rate data for CUFA, isn't buying it. He says that's not enough justification for charging big water users 20% less.
I just don't think the 20% makes any sense. They just like it. That's all.
Bob and Wanda say all the residential customers are basically subsidizing MSD. Families pay more so that big businesses can pay less. Diana Christie says that's not the intention.
The way it's structured now is based on the need to recover the costs. And there is another way to do it. That is something that has been at least suggested, but it hasn't been fully studied and presented, you know, as an option to the county commissioners. And ultimately, they would need to approve a change like that.
That kind of rate study is usually done by an outside consulting group. And MSD has done that kind of thing many times, most recently to consider one of CUFA's other sewer rate demands, the creation of an impervious surface fee for all customers, and even some property owners that are not customers of MSD right now.
The thing that's new is that they're talking about a stormwater fee.
Yes, the impervious surface fee.
And now they have a proposed rate structure based on that.
Oh, I remember this. Where's that scrap of paper from episode 3 where we defined impervious surfaces?
I think it's under all the wet weather improvement plan documents. Oh, here we go. Climate meteorologist Lauren Casey explained it for us this way.
We have to deal with the implications of climate change weather-wise and hazard-wise, but contributing to that also is the built environment, particularly in urban areas, which are covered in impervious surfaces, which is just a fancy way of saying anything that the water is not going to absorb into. So you're talking about asphalt, concrete, rooftops, parking lots.
Okay, this makes sense. Impervious surfaces are the reason stormwater gets into the combined sewer system.
Right, and remember, stormwater is about half of all the flow MSD cleans up in the treatment plants. County commissioners asked MSD to study what it would look like to start charging all property owners based on how much stormwater they send to MSD. And that's everyone, private home, a business, a parking lot, a farm.
It's really about how to spread it equitably across all customer bases.
That's Karen Ball, County Compliance Coordinator for MSD. She's part of the group studying the possibility of an impervious surface fee.
Because you have some commercial properties that have maybe larger parking lots and very little building space and very little usage in their sewage, but they're contributing a lot of stormwater.
The wet weather impervious surface fee would show up on the sewer bill as a new charge, but it would also reduce how much customers are charged for the amount of water they use.
So the total bill would be about the same for a lot of customers. Some will pay a little bit more, and some will pay a little bit less. It all depends on how much impervious surface is on each property, which equates to how much rain gets sent into the combined sewer system. The goal is to spread out the cost of sewage service more equitably.
This would have the biggest effect on businesses with huge parking lots, like Walmart or Target. And there's some concern about other properties with large parking lots, like churches. Their bills might go up a bit as well.
It also means some properties not even connected to sewer service would have to start paying MSD every month, like a public parking lot downtown. There are no buildings, let alone bathrooms, so that property owner doesn't pay MSD anything right now.
Or a single-family home with a private septic system pays Greater Cincinnati Waterworks for drinking water, but currently doesn't owe MSD anything. That would change if this fee was put into place.
It's important to keep in mind the impervious surface fee plan is just a draft right now. The stakeholder group hasn't officially decided on what to recommend to the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners.
And the commissioners are likely going to hear a lot of public feedback on the idea. It might not be politically popular with churches or parking lot operators.
Bob Park and other CUFA advocates say they've been asking MSD to consider an impervious surface fee for years, and they're glad it's finally happening. But they have some reservations about the draft plan that MSD came up with.
So there's two aspects of how they're doing it that we don't particularly like, even though it's really important to do a stormwater fee.
First of all, the consultants that MSD hired based all their work on a plan that is revenue neutral. That means MSD wouldn't lose any money by making the changes, but they also wouldn't bring in any new revenue, which advocates say could be used to finish the consent decree more quickly.
there's definitely been an expectation that this is an opportunity to fund the work under the wet weather program and bring in new revenue. And that creates, I think, just some confusion more than anything, because ultimately MSD has to collect and bring in revenue to cover its costs. We don't collect any more than what it costs to run the sewer system.
The other concern about the proposed plan is that it's based on how much impervious surface each property has. That's everything that water can't soak into, like a driveway or a patio. But water can soak into pervious surfaces, at least most of the time.
So after a light rain, those surfaces pretty much absorb the water and never becomes runoff. But if it's a long 3-day rain, your lawn gets totally saturated. In that situation, most of the rain arriving at that point is running off.
You know, I think initially of like pervious and impervious as like two sides of a coin, or like it's a black and white. It's either pervious or impervious. It sounds like it's a little bit more of a scale.
It is.
Of how pervious something is.
Yeah, and that's been studied a lot. So like a lawn is different from a garden, and it's different from a meadow. So there's actually tables that would allow you to classify a property in those different textures, and you could actually have different runoff.
But the draft plan from MSD only looks at pervious or impervious surfaces. No consideration for how pervious different surfaces are. This is also pretty standard for sewer utilities that have a stormwater fee.
The name of the proposed new charge is really important. Impervious surface fee, not stormwater fee. That's partly because everyone in Cincinnati already pays a stormwater fee, just not to MSD.
Last episode, we learned about the Stormwater Management Utility, or SMU. This city department takes care of all stormwater infrastructure that is not part of MSD's combined sewer system.
SMU funding comes from residents through a service charge attached to the water bill. The amount is based on how much your property contributes to stormwater runoff based on impervious surface.
All property owners have to pay. Apartments, offices, businesses, industrial. Most 1- and 2-family houses are charged between $9 and $13 a month.
So if there's already a stormwater fee on your water bill, how would customers react if another stormwater fee shows up?
Some of those challenges are related to customers having a separate stormwater fee and who that is paid to and what that cost goes towards, and the perception that they are potentially being charged for something twice.
All MSD customers would pay this new impervious surface fee charge, not just ones living in Cincinnati, but a few other municipalities have their own stormwater charge too.
Let's head back to our bulletin board and try to make sense of all this.
Yeah, and get some coffee, because yikes. Who knew sewer bills could be this complex?
Advocates with CUFA and the Sierra Club say the current MSD rate structure is outdated and puts too much burden on households who use the least amount of water.
Advocates want county commissioners and MSD to lower the base rate and stop giving corporate users a discount on bulk water usage. And they say MSD should expand eligibility for the customer assistance program.
There's now a draft proposal to overhaul the rate structure. It would lower the amount charged for water usage and add a new fee for how much stormwater each property contributes to the combined sewer system.
But the minimum charge would still be based on more water than at least a quarter of all households ever use in a month, although some residential customers would have a lower bill.
There have been suggestions and interest in looking at the base rate and also how we charge for commodities, so for the water usage. But that's not part of the feasibility study that's been completed.
And the proposal doesn't discuss the customer assistance program at all.
We also don't know when this plan will move on from a draft proposal to official recommendations. The stakeholder group is still deciding what to recommend to Hamilton County commissioners.
We've been looking into this a long time, and we keep hearing, it's coming soon. At first, it was late 2023, then early 2024. The most recent response in the first week of July 2024 is no update. The stakeholder group is still working on finalizing their recommendations.
There's still a lot of unanswered questions, and just one more episode of Backed Up to tie up the loose ends.
Next time on Backed Up.
Stormwater as a whole across the county is at times very fragmented.
We have limitations because of what county sewer districts are limited by. And if we were under a different governance structure, we could develop something that is more suited to Greater Cincinnati.
We couldn't live in community without an effective sewer system. As gross as it is, we need that to live in community.
Backed Up is a Cincinnati Public Radio podcast produced with support from PRX and made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.
Backed Up is reported and produced by Becca Costello and Ella Rowan with support from Casey Kuhn.
Thanks to everyone who helped put this episode together and bring it to life. Asiya Michaud Johnson, Tana Weingartner, Jen Merritt, Ronnie Salerno, Zach Carrion, Marshall Verbsky, Stephen Baum, Brittany Matey, and Kevin Reynolds.
Super extra special thanks to Leslie Smith.
Marianne Zalesnik is our VP of News. Janelle Walton is our VP of Content. Nicole Tiffany made our podcast cover art.
Special thanks to Sam Ransahoff, Tony Carlson, Grace Abler, Stephanie Kuo, and Mike Russo.
Go to wvxu.org/backedup to find a transcript of this episode, plus lots of pictures and extra info.
Like a link to an amazing digital exhibit about the history of the sewer system from our friends over at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library.
Scooby-dooby-doo, I gotta poo.
Oh, man.
That was the least enthusiastic. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That wasn't me debasing myself. That's just me being me. That's how I lost track of
it. It's a thin line.
Ella, what's your middle name?
Robert. Can you say that more dramatic since it's going into the mid-roll?
I guess. So it's no surprise the first time.